Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into his word for this week. This week, we are going to be bringing a teaching about Purim. We are going to be celebrating Purim in just a couple of days. So we get to read the story of Esther again and remind ourselves of the deliverance that Yahweh brought his people through Esther. And so I want to talk about the humility of Esther today in this teaching, and how through her humility, through her willingness to be obedient and to seek wisdom from those around her and to heed advice from those around her, because we're going to see that in her story that there are people that she sought their advice. She listened to what they had to say. She was not a prideful woman, but she was actually a woman of humility. And through her humility, Yahweh was able to use her to gain favor with the king and to bring a deliverance unto his people. So let's go ahead and read here in Esther chapter 2 and verse 12. Now, when the turn came for each young woman to go in to King Ahasuerus, after being 12 months under the regulations for the women, since this was the regular period of their beautifying, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with spices and ointments for women. When the young woman went in to the king in this way, she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go in, and in the morning, she would return to the second harem in custody of Sheshgaz, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the concubines. She would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and she was summoned by name. When the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his own daughter to go into the king, she asked for nothing except for what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who had charge of the women, advised. Now Esther was winning favor in the eyes of all who saw her. And when Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is in the month of Tebet in the 7th year of his reign, the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So first thing I want to talk about here. So this is the portion of the reading of the story where King Ahasuerus is picking who is going to be his next wife. So we see, or who's going to be the queen. And so we see this process of how he is selecting this next woman to be his queen. Now, in a verse that was previous to what we just read, we see that Esther had already gained favor with those around her even before we read this story here. So she comes in and she's got favor already. So we see that Yahweh is already working in and through her. He knows what is going on. He has a plan and a purpose for Esther. She is there for that time, as we always say regarding Esther. You know, she was there for that time. And we are put here for this time and for a purpose and for a reason. And we need to learn from Esther of how we can fulfill our destiny in the time that we have been allotted here and the purpose that we have to fulfill here on the earth while we are here. And we see here, and what we're going to talk about this week is of how humility played a role in her fulfilling her destiny, the purpose of which she was given to do. So we see here in this story that these women were brought, they were placed in the king's palace. They would basically make themselves as beautiful, as attractive as they could, so when they went before the king, that he would choose them. It was pretty much like a beauty contest is what's going on. They are trying to gain the favor of the king. Now, Esther had something on her side that the rest of the people, the rest of the women there did not have. And that was God's favor. Yahweh's favor was upon Esther. But Esther doesn't take his favor being upon her life for granted. She doesn't take that I can just go before the king and he's going to accept me how I am. Because they are all given a choice. They can bring whatever they want with them when they go in to appear before the king. And as we read here in this verse, Esther does something different than probably the rest of the women. In verse 15, it says that she doesn't take anything in there except for what Haggai, the king's eunuch, advised her to take. So she sought his wisdom, his insight on what she should bring with her into that room. She didn't sit there and say, I know what's best. I got this. She was willing to humble herself and say, I need a little help here on what I need to do. What is best for me to take into that room with me when I go and see the king? Now, because of this, we see in this same verse that Esther was winning favor in the eyes. So she already had favor and she is continuing to win favor in the eyes of those around her as they see her willingness to be taught, you could say. Humility is this place. It's an attitude. It's a heart place. To say, number one, is of course the total opposite of pride. It's to say that we don't know it all. We don't have it all figured out and that we need help. We are not resistant to receiving help. We're not resistant to receiving advice or wisdom or correction. We're willing to reach out and ask advice or help in situations where we do not really know what we are doing. Was there any way of Esther really knowing what would please the king? She'd never met the king before. She's never stood before the king. She didn't know what the king would appreciate or like. So she goes to someone who served the king, someone who would know what the king liked, what would appeal unto the king. What should I bring with me into that room when I go before the king? She sought somebody who would know the answer to that question. And because she was willing to do that, she appears before the king and she has favor with the king. And she is made queen over Vashti. Now we're going to see here, I'm going to read another portion here. When it comes time for Esther to step up and to do something, to get involved in delivering the Jews, we're going to see again that Esther, even though she's the queen, she is still willing to listen to what her uncle Mordecai has to say. Because where we're going to get in this story is Haman, remember, he has gotten angry because Mordecai refuses to bow down to him. And so because Mordecai is refusing to bow down to Haman, Haman now wants to destroy Mordecai and all of his people, the Jews. Now, up until this point, when Esther was selected to go with all the other women into the palace, Mordecai had advised Esther not to reveal her people unto the king. So up until this point, Esther had not revealed unto the king that she was a Jew. So here we see a second example of Esther listening to the advice of someone who is older than her, this being her uncle, who actually raised her as his own daughter when Esther's parents had died. Okay, so she's in humility, listening to her uncle and not revealing herself. But now there's coming a time where she's going to have to do something, and Mordecai is going to be there. And the question is, does she again show humility in her relationship with her uncle? So let's look at Esther chapter 4 and verse 8. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. And Hatak went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hatak and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. But if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. So, interesting passage here. So, what we see here is we actually have a guy, Hatak, who is seemingly playing a mediator between Esther and Mordecai, or he is this guy who is bringing the messages back and forth between Esther and her uncle Mordecai. Mordecai has learned of the decree by Haman to destroy the Jewish people, and he wants to make sure that Esther is aware of this decree that has been made. So he brings this decree to this individual so he can bring it unto Esther, so that she can see what the decree says and what is in it. And Esther's initial response, because Mordecai, we see here in verse 8, he commands her to go to the king. So her uncle is commanding her, the queen, to go before the king. He is bringing an instruction into her life. Now, at first, we see there is a little bit of a pushback from Esther. She's like, look, you need to understand what the result is if I go before the king without being summoned, that I can risk losing my life going before the king to plead the cause of the Jewish people without being summoned. And Mordecai responds and tells her, do not think that you can escape. Basically telling her, you have been put there for such a time. And if you are not willing to do it, you will perish, but salvation will come to Yahweh's people, but it's going to come by a different mean. So think about that with us. We have all been given a purpose. We've all been put here for a reason, for such a time as this. And if we're willing to humble ourselves and submit ourselves unto Him, we can be used by Yahweh as a messenger of His gospel to a dying world around us. We can bring salvation unto those around us. But if we refuse, He will do it another way. He is going to fulfill His purpose. His purpose, His desire, His will be done. The question is whether or not we are going to humble ourselves and be willing to be a vessel in which He can use. That's all Esther needed to be. Be willing to humble herself and be a vessel that He could use. So she hears the words of her uncle Mordecai. She hears what he is saying unto her, and she agrees. I will go before the king as you have requested of me to do. I will plead the cause of our people before the king. But there is one thing that I need from you, for you to do. So she requests of Mordecai for him to gather all the Jews up and for them to fast for 3 days and three nights. And while all the Jews are fasting for 3 days and three nights, Esther and all of her women, so I would take this as being those who are serving her. Remember, she's the queen, so she's got those who are serving her. So she's going to fast for 3 days and three nights, and so is her young women, or you could probably say her servants. And she says, then I will go before the king. Though it is against the law, I will risk my life. I will put my neck out there for the sake of Yahweh's people. Are we willing to put our neck out there for the sake of a lost and dying world? Are we willing to put our neck out there for His purpose and His will and His desire to be done in our lives? Remember, the great commandment that He has given us is for us to go into the world and make disciples. Are we willing to stick our neck out to go into the world and to make disciples? If I perish, I perish. Mordecai would go and do as Esther had ordered him. So he even humbles himself to his niece and listens to what she has told him to do. And through their obedience, through their willingness to do this, a great deliverance came unto the Jewish people. And that's what we celebrate this week coming up when we celebrate Purim. We celebrate the deliverance that Yahweh brought unto His people through a young woman who was willing to stick her neck out for His people because she was humble. She was willing to listen to what others said unto her. Even Yeshua Himself would say that He was a person under authority. Yeshua Himself walked in humility and not pride. The one who was without sin, the Son of God, himself, who had all the reason in the world to be prideful and boasting, did not, but he walked in humility. Let's look at John chapter 8 and verse 28. So Yeshua said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. So listen to what Yeshua is saying about himself. He says, "I do nothing on my own authority." Esther did not go before the king on her own authority on the first time around. She went in having listened to the advice of somebody else. And even though the second time when she goes before the king to plead her cause, you could say she's not going in on her own authority then either. She's going in under the instructions or the command of her uncle, which ultimately was coming from Yahweh himself, which is why she asked for them to fast for 3 days and three nights. She put herself in subjection to the Father in heaven. She knew she needed help. The fasting was the spiritual warfare. That is where she went to battle against the decree. That is where she waged war against the enemy, so that when she came before the king, she would not be before the king in her authority, but she would be before the king in the authority of Yahweh, and that his favor would be upon her as she stood before the king. Yeshua himself, "I do nothing on my own authority." Every time he healed a person, every time he delivered a person of an evil spirit, every time he raised a person from the dead, where the blind could see, where the lame could walk, every instruction, command, parable that he spoke, every answer that he gave unto the Pharisees when they tested and tried him, was not on his own authority. It was not his desire. It was not his words, but he was speaking the words that his Father had taught unto him, or you could say he was speaking the words of his Father. He lived a life in perfect submission unto his Father, unto Yahweh. He lived a perfect life of submission. And that is our goal. That is the example he sets for us. That is the very definition of humility, to be subjected unto another one, to be under the authority of another one. And when we mess up, we repent. We turn from our pride and our arrogance and our disobedience, and we subject ourselves unto our Heavenly Father again. The reason Yeshua was able to do the works that he did was because he was under submission to his Father. And it's the same for us. He has given us authority in this dark world to tread upon serpents, to heal the sick, to do the same works that he did. And if we want to walk in that authority, then we must first be submitted unto his authority. It is us being submitted under his authority, us walking in humility, that we gain authority. Authority is gained through submission. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Think about this. The devil was using Haman to destroy or to devour the people of God. The devil prowls around. He is hiding. That's what it means to prowl. It's to hide. It's to crouch. It's to stay hidden, looking for the perfect opportunity to pounce upon your prey. That is what Haman was doing in the story of Esther. But we, as a people of Yahweh, as his servants, we need to be sober-minded, or we need to be alert. We need to be aware of the danger that is out there. Mordecai was aware of the danger that was coming. And so he alerted Esther. So he was able to bring attention to the devil, to that lion who was prowling around, trying to devour Yahweh's people. But see, how do we stand against this enemy? How can we be in a spot to where we can be sober-minded, where we can be watchful, and we can stand against the attack of the enemy? We need to humble ourselves. We need to walk in humility toward one another. Esther walked in humility toward Haggai. She walked in humility toward her uncle Mordecai. And because of that, the verse says that God gives grace to the humble, or you could say God gives favor unto the humble. Because Esther was humble, she found favor. God's favor was upon her life to go before the king. First, to be made queen, so that she could be in the place that she needed to be in to bring the deliverance of God's people. So she found favor with the king a second time when she goes before the king to plead the case for her people. And her people are spared, but yet Haman is the one who is hung upon the tree which was built for Mordecai. So that which your enemy is trying to bring about on you, God's going to turn it around and put it on your enemy, because you are walking in humility and submission to him and his word and submission to those around you. When people come and speak to you and bring correction and say, this sin that is in your life, this thing that you're doing, it is wrong. It is sin. You need to stop. But when you reject that and you say no, you are not walking in humility, but you are doing the exact opposite. You are being proud and you are walking in pride, and God opposes those who are proud or those who are resistant against correction, against being in submission unto his word. It's those who want to do whatever they want to do. And there are some within the body who try to do it under the disguise of, well, the Spirit told me it's okay. It's not. So therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Or you can say, subject yourself to his instructions and to his command. Subject yourself to those who have spiritual authority, to those who are older than you, those elder, or those who have a better spiritual understanding of the word, who come to bring correction. Humble yourself. And in that, we can be alert and we can stand against the traps of the enemy. But if we're going to walk as one who is proud, as one who's resistant to listening to what other people say, to listening to the commands and the instructions that are written in the Bible right in front of us, then we put ourselves in a spot where we are vulnerable unto the attack of the devil, because he is sneaking around looking for the perfect opportunity to devour you. Let's look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So it's interesting here. Verse 9, he says, I tell you this parable because there are those who are righteous who trusted in themselves. And of course, he goes on to speak of the concept of their righteousness. But I want to pause for a second before we get into that and look at Esther. Did Esther trust in herself when it became time to go before the king? When Mordecai comes and says, go before the king, plead your case before the people, did she say, okay, I will do it, I got this? No. She did the exact opposite. She commands Mordecai to go and tell the Jews to fast on her behalf. And she and her young women fast as well. She did not trust in herself, but by doing that, she put her trust in Yahweh. So we see here this Pharisee who's saying, I am not like this sinner over here. He was trusting in his works. He was trusting in what he has done instead of trusting in the work of God to justify his people. He was trying to justify himself. See, pride seeks to justify oneself, while humility cries out for mercy. Have mercy upon this sinner. So let's learn this lesson this week. Let's be a person of humility who seeks out mercy for ourselves and for others, who humbles ourselves before our Heavenly Father, to subject ourselves to his commands and his instructions, to what his Spirit is leading and guiding us, because he has given us all a purpose. We all have a reason to why we are here. We are all here for such a time as this. We have a purpose. And if we are going to fulfill our purpose, we need to subject ourselves to him. And as we subject ourselves unto him, then we're able to walk in his authority. Then we become a threat unto the enemy. And we will defeat the enemy instead of the enemy devouring us. Well, I hope that this message has blessed you this week. I hope you have a blessed and wonderful Purim this year. And we will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So come back now and shalom, y'all.